Now, the subject of my message tonight is prayer. Brother Danny Parks gave me a study which he prepared on the subject of prayer. I read it and studied it on the way back from the island, and it was such a blessing to me that I borrowed much of what he said for the message this evening. Now, I do not profess to have all the answers on the subject of prayer. I feel exactly like the apostles we read about a moment ago, who said unto the Lord Jesus Christ, "Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray." I don't hold myself up as an example in the matter of prayer. I prepare this message and preach it tonight for myself as much as for you. I want to learn to pray. And the first question I ask is this: what is prayer? What is prayer? Now, in defining or understanding prayer, the first thing that must be done, especially in our day, is to take out of it the form and the ritualism and the phoniness and the ceremonialism and all of these things that destroy prayer. Prayer, like love, must be genuine. Prayer, like faith, must be sincere to even be heard. God's not going to hear a form or a ritual. He's not going to listen to it. He said in Matthew 23, now I'm not going to ask you to turn to these because I have several scriptures, but if you're taking notes, I'll move along slowly so that you can write down these scriptures. But what I'm saying is, when we start out on the subject of prayer, let's get the phoniness out of it. Let's get the showmanship out of it. Let's get the form out of it. Prayer, like love and faith and humility or anything in that vein, has got to be genuine. It's got to be sincere. It's got to be from the heart, or it's no good to begin with. He said to the Pharisees, now listen, Matthew 23:14, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you for a pretense make long prayers." He said, "You'll receive the greater condemnation." If you notice the prayers of the Bible, and I have jotted down in my Bible, in the back of the Bible, the different prayers that were prayed by David and Solomon and Hannah and different ones, and they're all brief. They're not long, drawn-out prayers. And he said to these Pharisees, for a pretense, it's pretension, you make these long, long prayers. And he condemns them. And then he said in Matthew 6, verse 5, "And when you pray, you shall not be like these hypocrites who love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the street corners, that they may be seen of men." The thing I'm most interested in, I know we must have public prayer. I'm edified by public prayer. And we'll continue to have public prayer, because a part of a worship service is prayer, calling upon the Lord. But the thing that I'm encouraging for myself and for you more than anything else is private prayer. Our Lord said, "When you pray, enter your closet and shut the door, and your Father which heareth in secret will reward you openly." And this is the thing that you say, we don't meet around here enough for prayer. Yeah, we meet enough for prayer. Maybe our fault is we don't unmeet enough for prayer. It's See, well, private prayer. That's where we do business with God. And then he said in Matthew 6, verse 7, and when you pray, now you're saying, for a pretense, make long, long, drawn-out prayers. And then don't pray to be seen of men. And then he said, Matthew 6 said, when you pray, don't use vain repetitions. As the heathen do, they think they shall be heard for their many words. You don't have to worry in prayer about theological accuracy. You don't have to worry about using theological terms and over and over again making sure that God knows that you're well read and well taught. Just pray as you talk. Anyone who can, you don't even have to talk to pray. But the smallest child can pray. You don't have to have these repetitious theological words, because God doesn't hear us for our many words or words of accuracy. And then in James 4, verse 3, he said, you pray and fail to receive because you ask with the wrong purpose. I'm reading from the Amplified here now. You ask with the wrong purpose and selfish motives. Your intention is to use it for sensual, natural purposes and not the glory of God. We've got to find the will of God, like you said in your prayer moment ago. Teach us to pray according to the will of God, not for our own selfish, sensual, natural purposes. And then let me add this. Changing my voice in prayer to a pious tone and a pious whine indicates insincerity. Prayer is conversation with God, not to impress someone else. And so if prayer is conversation with God, I ought to speak in the same conversational tone that I speak to anyone else. We don't change our voice to preach. We don't change our voice to pray. And then hollering. Have you heard people holler when they pray? Unnecessary volume in prayer, it indicates an ignorance of God. God Almighty hears a thought. God Almighty hears a whisper. God Almighty can hear the voice or the thought or the whisper of his child with all of the noises and bedlam of this whole universe going on. God Almighty can hear a look. But we don't have to scream. We don't have to holler. You know, that's what Elijah said to those prophets of Baal. He said, holler a little louder. Maybe your God's asleep. You'll have to wake him up. But God hears a whisper. And then this about prayer, and these are the things it's not. Claiming certain power. I hear these fellows on television commanding God. We command you to do this, God. In the name of Jesus, I command you. This sort of thing. I tell you, shame on the creature who commands the Creator in any shape, form, or fashion. We don't command God. We plead with God. We plead and pray for mercy and for His help. And then I went to a meeting one time, well, two or three times in different places where everybody prayed audibly at the same time. Now, this is not praying in unison. This is praying in confusion is what it is. And if you read the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, you'll find this sort of thing condemned very strongly. The Lord tells us when we're gathered together as a church, let's speak one at a time, so the others can hear and the others can say amen. The Holy Spirit is not the author of confusion. And so when we pray, that's the reason I invite someone to come up here and pray, and I pray myself and others pray. And we're sitting here, we're saying amen. to what the brothers pray. He's leading us in prayer. And another thing that I do not really see any profit in at all is to have three or four or five people pray one right after the other, asking and praying the same thing. In other words, when Brother Charlie stood here and prayed, there's no use having someone else come up and pray. And after him, someone else. And after him, we're not heard for our much speaking. We're not heard for our many words. We're not heard for the length of our prayer. And prayer is not to inform God of our needs. He knows our needs. So our Lord clearly shows us some things here. Don't try to make long prayers. It's a pretense. And then don't pray to be seen or heard of anyone or to impress anyone. And then when we pray, let's not try to use vain repetitions. Let's just speak from our hearts in our own way of saying things. And then let's try to find the will of God. And not pray that we might consume it on our own selfish lust. And then let's pray in a conversational tone and not try to impress God with our whining or our hollering or unnecessary volume. And let's don't command God. Let's seek the will of God. Now then, what is prayer? Well, Brother Dan gave several words from different writers of bygone days, and I'll give you a few of them. What is prayer? Well, prayer is quite simply, one man said, communion with God. Conversation with God, directed from the heart of a man to God. And it's not just seeking our good, but it's seeking His will and seeking His glory. Another one said, what is prayer? It is to have communion with God as a needy beggar has communion with his king. It is to have communion with God as a servant with his master, as a bride with her bridegroom, or as a child with his father. And isn't that the example our Lord gave us in this scripture here when the disciples said, teach us to pray? And he gave them that disciple's prayer. And then he said, which of you, if your son asks bread, will give him a stone? So it's just communion. As a son with his father, as a bride with a bridegroom, as a servant with his master, as a beggar with a king. And then someone else said this. What is prayer? It's a sincere and sensible and affectionate pouring out of the soul to God through our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the strength and with the assistance of the Holy Spirit for such things as God has already promised. Isn't that good? Now let me get to you. Prayer is a sincere, sensible, and affectionate pouring out of the soul to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the strength and with the assistance of the Holy Ghost for such things as God has already promised. I know my wants. I don't really know my needs, do I? But He does. And that's what we're praying about. And then someone else says this, prayer is not to inform God of our needs. We don't even know that. We know not what things we should pray for as we ought, Romans 8:27 said. But we don't have to inform God of our needs. Doesn't the scripture say your Father knows you have need of these things? Then if prayer is not to inform God of our needs, what is it? It's, this man said, it's a confession to Him of our sense of need and our dependence on Him to meet it. I like that. Prayer is not to inform God of my needs. He knows my needs. But prayer is a confession to Him that I know where it comes from. And I have a deep sense of need. And then someone else said this. Prayer may be in simple words. Anyone can pray. I always get amused when I read these religious crusaders trying to get prayer back in the school. You can't put prayer out of the schools. You can't put prayer out of anywhere. Now you can put ritualism out and ceremonialism out and tradition out and form out, but prayer may be in simple words spoken to God, or prayer might even be a wish toward God. Or prayer might even be a look unto God out of my helplessness. Or prayer may even be a sigh in sorrow. Or prayer may even be a smile of gratitude. Isn't that right? It's communion with God. God is spirit. And they that worship God worship him in spirit. Not in form. Not just in words. You know, we read the story of Hannah. Hannah had no children. She desperately wanted a son. She went up there to Shiloh with her husband. And after they'd eaten and drunk, she was sitting over there against one of the columns, I guess, at the place of worship. And the scripture said she prayed, but didn't speak a word. And as she prayed, an effectual prayer of desperation, but never spoke a word. And Eli the priest saw her mouth moving, and she spake no words, and he went over and rebuked her, and he said, "Woman, how long are you going to tarry at the bottle? Put away the wine, you're drunk." She said, "My Lord, I'm not drunk. I'm a woman of a heavy heart and a broken spirit, and I'm praying to God." And he said, "God's going to give you what you asked for, too." So prayer, it may be just simple words spoken to God. It may be a wish toward God. It may be a look out of my helplessness. It may be a sigh and sorrow. It may be a smile of gratitude. One can engage in true prayer, listen to me, anywhere, anytime, about anything, and it be unknown to anyone present. Is that correct? One may engage in true prayer anytime, anywhere, for anything, and no one know you're praying but him to whom I pray. I'm not trying to impress anyone with my piety. I don't have anything to impress anybody with. So prayer, listen, James Montgomery said this, "Prayer is the soul's sincere desire, unuttered or expressed. Prayer is the motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast. Prayer is the burden of a sigh, the falling of a tear, the upward glancing of the eye when no one but God is near. Prayer is the simplest form of speech that human lips can try. Prayer, the glorious strains that reach the majesty on high. Prayer is the contrite sinner's voice returning from his ways, while angels in their songs rejoice and cry, 'Behold, he prays.' O thou by whom we come to God, the life, the truth, the way, the path of prayer thyself hath trod, Lord, teach me how to pray." Now, let me give you this. I started to give you how many things I'm going to give you, but maybe I better not tell you how many things I'm going to give you. Because like Brother Gary Shepherd said one time, we get in a pattern, they see that last note, and they think he's nearly through. Or if you tell them you got 6 points, you get to 5, so we just got one more. Listen to these things here. Some things that God has taught us about prayer, and some things that We don't have to get these out and look at them in order to pray, but these things are part of our consciousness while we pray. But here's some things God has taught us about prayer. Now then, first of all, we know to pray, and we want to pray in accordance with the will of God, seeking His will. For He said, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. We pray according to His will. Our Lord, in this prayer, when He taught the disciples to pray, He said, pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done. I want the will of God done. I want to know the will of God, and I want to be in the will of God. And then secondly, we know to pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't have to always say that as long as I understand that truth. I don't have to say it. I don't have to always say, now, this is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As long as I understand that in my heart, I understand that everything God has for me is in Christ, because of Christ, and through Christ. So I don't have to, when I pray, use that phrase. But that is true. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And our Lord said, whatsoever you ask in my name, I'll do it. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then thirdly, we pray in faith. Now, Hebrews 11:6 says this, without faith it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe. He must believe that God is, and that God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And Matthew 21:22 says, all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. We ask in faith. And then fourthly, is this not true? We know to pray in love and obedience. Now, I would like you to turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. There's this thing of a right ordering of our attitude and lives if we expect to be heard in prayer. In 1 Peter chapter 3, he says in verse 1, ye wives, likewise ye wives, 1 Peter 3:1, be in subjection to your own husbands. If any obey not the word, they may without the word be won by the conversation of the wife, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning, the plaiting of the hair, the wearing of gold, putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. In other words, there's an attitude here, the hidden man of the heart. You see that they're talking to the lady, the attitude, spirit. All right, now down at verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, and give honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel. There's an attitude, there's a spirit in the home and in the heart, as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, we not only pray according to the will of God and pray in the name of the Lord Jesus and pray in faith, but now we can't fuss and fight all day long and pray at night. And we can't have a bad... Look at verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you're there and to call that you should inherit a blessing, that your prayers be not hindered. If I got a bad spirit and a bad attitude toward others, then I'm in no condition to talk to God. Isn't that right? All right, let's move on. So we pray. We pray, first of all, according to the will of God. Now, this is not a list I have to get out, but it's just something that these things we know If we're going to pray according to the will of God, by faith, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and with the right attitude, not only towards God, myself, toward others, right spirit. And then, fifthly, we know to pray in sincerity from the heart. Now, the man who calls on God will be sincere and serious and dedicated, or he'll not be heard. This is one thing that's bothered me all through my life, is what we call automatic prayer, or expected prayer, or regimented prayer. There's, you don't always have to pray before the meal, you can pray after the meal. You don't always have to open a service with prayer, you can close the service with prayer. In other words, when it's a duty, it's not a prayer. James wrote this, and I read this from the Amplified, talk about the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What he's saying there is the active, energetic, genuine, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When we talk to God, let's talk to God. Isn't that right? Let's talk to God. You know, when we talk to someone, some individual here, if we have a conversation after church, you're standing talking to that individual, he listens to you and you have a conversation, but if you're going to say what you're saying for the benefit of everybody around you, it's not a personal conversation with that man at all, and he may be highly offended. And when you know, when we're praying to God, better to pray five words with sincerity and a genuineness than 500 words to impress someone else or to be heard and seen of men. If we have, I'd rather have one prayer of sincerity, genuineness, fervent prayer unto God than a half a dozen prayers, form and ceremony, hadn't you? Then in the next place, we know to pray humbly, confessing our sins and our unworthiness. Turn to Psalm 51. I think this is one of the most beautiful prayers in the Bible. And I read one this morning, Abraham's intercession for Sodom. You remember how he prayed, Lord, I'm just dust and ashes, and I've taken upon myself to speak with the Lord of heaven. And Lord, don't be angry, but let me speak one more time. It's a genuine humility. Genuine, and here listen to David. And this is a man after God's own heart. This is the king of Israel. This is the hand-picked ambassador of God. And yet he says, have mercy on me, O God. According to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions and wash me freely from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. He goes on like that. In verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Brother Walter Gruver called on a man down in Mexico, one of the young men, to pray. He'd never called on him before. And they were having some kind of meeting, and Walter was in the pulpit, and he called out this young man's name. He said, lead us in prayer. And the young man got up, and the first words out of his mouth, he said, now, Lord, you forgive me for what I'm about to say. And I feel like that's the right attitude. Just forgive me for what I'm about to say. Hear my heart. Don't pay a whole lot of attention to my words. So prayer with a humble spirit. And then in the next place, number 7, we know to pray with forgiveness in our hearts toward others. You know, in that prayer he read a moment ago from Luke 11, forgive us our sins, our debts, as we forgive those who sin against us. That's right in the middle of that prayer. Turn to Mark chapter 11 and listen to the Lord here. Mark chapter 11. When we pray, let us pray with forgiveness in our hearts toward others. In Mark 11, verse 25, listen to this. Our Lord speaking. We'll read verse 24 and 25 and 26. Mark 11, 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. There's no need me praying if I have an unforgiving spirit, because God's not going to hear that kind of spirit. And then in the eighth place, we know to pray with thanksgiving. God is not pleased with murmuring. He's not pleased with discontented hearts and covetous hearts. In Philippians 4:6, it says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. Whatever it may be, give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And then in the ninth place, we know to pray sensibly and with understanding and with importunity or perseverance. Let's continue to pray. Continue to pray. Don't hang up the phone. Continue to pray with perseverance, with sensibly, with understanding. I jotted down this scripture here, 1 Corinthians 14:15. Let's turn over there and look at this a moment. 1 Corinthians 14:15. It says here, 1 Corinthians 14:15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to teach me to pray and teach me the things for which I should pray. And I want to pray in the Spirit. I want to pray a spiritual prayer. But then I will pray with the Spirit. But I pray with the understanding also. With the understanding. And I'll sing with the Spirit. I'll sing in the Spirit. But I'll sing with the understanding that I understand and you understand. I think one of the best examples of this is over here in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18. I want you to turn over there just a moment. I think this is one of the, it's meant as much to me as any prayer in the Bible. 1 Kings, chapter 18. Now, just briefly, let me show you what's involved here. Here on Mount Carmel, Israel had been led by the false prophets just to turn away from God, away from the true worship of God. This is a critical hour. This is such a meaningful hour. This is such an awesome time. Here they are on Mount Carmel, and there's a contest between God's true prophet, Elijah, and all the prophets of Baal, 450 of them. Somebody says 850 of them because of the 400 prophets of the grove. And Elijah challenged them to pray. He challenged them. He said, now you call on your God, Baal, and I'll call on the living God. And the one that answers by fire, let him be God. Now he threw out the gauntlet, didn't he? Well, they prayed, and they had an all-day prayer meeting, and every one of them prayed, and they went through all their shenanigans, even cut themselves, rolled on the floor, prostrated themselves, rolled on the ground, prostrated themselves, went through all this many words and all these things, and finally, in the evening, time for the evening sacrifice, they'd worn themselves totally out, and their God had not answered. And Elijah built an altar, put the wood on it and the sacrifice, and had them had them douse it with water three or four times, just cover it with water, so there could be no mistaking that God heard. And then in that time, now here, this is heaven and earth. This is the truth of God as opposed to error. This is the living God's very reputation at stake. Now, how's this man going to pray? Well, I want you to hear how simple the prayer is, how sincere, from the heart, in faith, according to the will of God, simple it is. 63 words. Didn't take him 45 seconds to pray. In 1 Kings 18, verse 36, it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, he didn't scream, he didn't waller, he didn't cry, he just said, Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, that I am thy servant, that I've done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire fell. That's a simple prayer. But that's what I'm saying. He prayed with the Spirit, prayed with the understanding. He prayed humbly in faith. Anybody can understand those words. There's no much speaking. There's no theological terms. There's just the cry of a heart of one of God's servants. Lord, show us yourself. Reveal your power. Let it be known that you're God. And then last of all, we need to learn to pray unselfishly. Now, James chapter 5, and this will be my closing remarks. I hope it's been beneficial to you. James chapter 5. And I pray that this message will encourage us to pray. That we'll all be found before the Lord praying, calling upon His name. In James chapter 5 verse 16. Confess your faults. James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Pray for one another. Paul, here's the great apostle. Here's the chief apostle. Here's the apostle to the Gentiles. He said, brethren, pray for me. Pray for me. How many times did he say, pray for me? Someone asked Spurgeon one time, what was the success of his ministry? And he said, this congregation prays for me. That's the success of my ministry. They're asking God to help me that I might help them. Pray for one another. My friends, it matters not whether you're standing or whether you're sitting or whether you're kneeling or lying down. It matters not whether you pray in the morning or noon at night. It matters not whether you pray before the meal or after the meal. As long as you pray in faith through the name of the Redeemer, seeking the will and glory of God from a sincere heart. Isn't that right? And wise man Solomon said in Proverbs 58, and the prayer of the upright is God's delight. Lord, teach me to pray. All right, Mike, come lead us in a closing hymn, if you will.